organic is always going to be healthier, because the reality is even organic food cooked in the wrong ways, improperly, and also in the wrong portion sizes can make you fat.
This is episode 98 of the Neuro Experience podcast. I'm your host, Louisa Nicola. Joining me today is Kevin Fitman Curry. In this episode, we learn how Kevin combated depression with nutrition, how you can increase your kitchen IQ, why falling in love with cooking will help your weight loss and fitness journey, and how Kevin built the Fit Men Cook brand and community. Kevin, welcome to the Neuro Experience podcast. I'm a very, very big fan of yours, so I'm absolutely honored to be able to speak to you, ask you some questions, and I know for sure that my audience is going to love hearing from you.
What's going on? Thanks so much for having me. Really, you know, glad to be here.
It's so funny. Do you know who actually got me onto you?
No, who?
My mother. Oh. My 63-year-old mother. She here's the thing, I'm from Australia. I live in New York, so I set her up on Instagram.
Yeah.
I gave her just so she can see what I'm doing over here. And she said to me, "Oh, Louisa, there's this man I watch and I follow. He's fit and he just cooks these amazing meals." I said, "What's his name?" She goes, "Fitman." I said, "Well, that's his name." She said, "Oh," and we're such big fans of yours. And when I told her you're on the podcast, she's so excited to listen to it.
Well, thank you, Mama Louisa. Thank you, Mama out there. I appreciate you. You know, it's really funny. My mom is the exact same way. Getting my parents into social media has been kind of like a blessing and a curse in a sense. Like, they are much more active than I am. And so they know everything that's going on. And my mom is the same thing. She'll tag me, "You need to reach out to them. This would be a great person." And et cetera. So I understand that connection, because mamas, they are the best managers out there.
Oh, 100%. She's got my back. Now, once she introduced me to you and I started following you, I absolutely fell in love with your ethos, your mission. And I want to know, how did Fit Men Cook and the entire community get started? What was your mission from the start?
You know, but well, to be quite honest, the mission from the start was not the mission that it is right now, in terms of helping out other people. The reality is I went to social media to see if I could try to basically crowdsource my diet and use everybody else out there to tell me what I should and should not be eating. But it has just kind of blossomed into something that's just been so incredible and humbling. You know, it's incredible because, just like you today, I've never been to Australia, but to know that somebody's mama was watching me in Australia, and they told somebody who told somebody who told, you know what I mean? And so it's great to see the way that these connections are just made within social media. And it's been humbling, just because, you know, I was not setting out to go and do this. And the fact that people have just allowed me to be a part of their journey, and they trust me and my ideas and my enthusiasm for food, it's just been like none other.
Yeah. And the thing that I love, you know, I've listened to a lot of your interviews. I've watched you on YouTube, and you speak a lot about, you know, your upbringing. You saw a photo of yourself, you didn't really like it, and you thought that's when everything changed. You thought, "I've got to make a change in my health, my diet, and the way you eat."
Absolutely. That was definitely a huge part of it. You know, sometimes we really don't know how far we've really gone down a certain path until we have just some type of marker. And that marker for me was this really unsightly tag on Facebook. And it was just an indication that, you know, before it's easy to kind of pull on your shirt a little bit because it's too snug, you know, and you think, well, nobody's really going to notice, or, you know, you try to hide those things. But then when I saw it flat out on social media, I was realizing that my struggle with food was now becoming public and I needed to do something about it.
Mm. So you struggled with food. What was that like? Take me through the journey of your struggle and then how you actually started Fit Men Cook, like everything.
Sure. So before, it was like this love-hate relationship with food. I loved the way that food tastes, but hated the way that it made me feel. And my struggle with food was mainly just around like snacking and not having a lot of balance. I did lots of binging. So when I made the decision to start working out, I would eat healthy for maybe like 4 days of the week. And then on that Friday, it'd be like, well, congratulations, you made it. And I would just eat any and everything. I would go out and I would drink uncontrollably and binge drink. And a lot of that was also to mask what was to mask depression that I was having within my own life. And so it wasn't until a trainer asked me a question, and something that I'd never asked myself before. He said, well, what are you eating on a daily basis? And when he asked that question, it's such a, just a basic question. It just caused me to think and stop for a second and be like, yeah, like, what am I eating? Because sure, I can have a salad on Monday, but if I'm drinking and having pizza and burgers and everything else, Thursday through Sunday, what is that really doing? And so I found myself in this, you know, this kind of like a weight cycle, whereby I would be just basically trying just to out train my poor diet. And I would go through periods of my life with being super overweight, I felt like, and then super skinny. And I'd be super skinny because I would maybe be starving myself and just start running and just start doing a whole bunch of cardio, but no muscle mass, nothing like that. And then I would just gain the weight all back just because I love the way that food tastes. And so I got to a point where it was almost kind of being indignant with food, you know, and just indignant about my own life and saying that it doesn't make any sense. I just don't think that we could be put on this earth with all these amazing cuisines and foods and cultures and just these flavors and say that you can't taste it. You can't have that. And that was truly the beginning of my journey. I went to this half-price bookstore and just bought every single book they had there about food and just began just to consume the content and read it and learn about nutrition and what's a fat, what's a protein, what's a carb, what's a macronutrient. And then I just went into the kitchen and just began just to put things together. But my mission this time, it wasn't about the aesthetics of wellness, which we can get into later on in this podcast. I can talk a whole bunch about this. It was much more about feeling better about Kevin and also creating a plan for myself that I could sustain for the long haul. I didn't want to eat something that I just didn't, that I was forced to enjoy 7 days a week. What if my just regular eating was just basic eating and I could eat what I wanted, but in different portions, but also preparing foods differently so that way I could cut calories?
Yeah. I think, you know, you touched on so many great points there. One especially is the love-hate relationship. Now, I think everybody has gone through that, especially, you know, you find people with different metabolisms, people who can eat a lot and just not gain any weight. So they're probably not more, they're not as inclined as others to really look into macros, fat, proteins, all of this, all of the nutritional content in food. But for me, I've always had this, I'm Greek. I've never been tiny. I've never been, lean. It's always been I would say somewhat of a mission of mine too, to really learn about nutrition, to learn about my own body. What, some people can eat a lot of fat and no carbs. And it's just, and what I'm saying is there's so much information out there with Instagram. There is so much information out there. And I think that now, 2019, 2020, it's like this, we're just getting bombarded with, macros, vegan, don't eat this, only have a carnivore diet. And I'm going crazy. I'm like, I just want to be lean. And it's crazy. So I think it's very overwhelming. Is there a simple method to this, to being fit, healthy, losing weight?
Well, yeah, I think that you just touched on a great point, and just like it's crazy and on the misinformation out there and information out there. It's an overload. And what that leads to is a whole lot of anxiety about food and about what you're going to eat and thinking that, oh my God, if I have this right now, it's going to make me blow up. I just know it. And people carry that around. And even that influences the way that we digest food and process food throughout our bodies. So I think one of the main ways that I've learned how to kind of just streamline it, and this is going to sound so basic, but is I learned how to just run my own race and just focus on Kevin. So much of health and wellness in marketing and what we do is based off of what somebody else is doing. Well, they're doing this diet and they look like this. Well, this doctor said this over here, so I can't eat kale anymore. This doctor over there said, you don't want to eat oatmeal. You got to stay away from grains. And so much of it, so much of what we do is based off of what everybody else is doing and what they're telling us to do. So we're getting stimulated by, you know, by like what we see on like Instagram, by this aesthetic look, and then also like what we hear, the different sound bites. And so we're missing the big adventure in health and wellness and the actual way to go and do it, which is kind of experiential in that, like, really, you don't know what's going to work for you unless you start doing it. And I'll be the first to tell you, it is one of the most frustrating things, especially if you feel the eagerness and feel hurried and pressed to lose a whole bunch of weight. You don't want to spend time trying to figure out what works for your body. You want to just reach over to Instagram, pull down this diet that this person that had this perfect body that you think, you know, is doing, and eat this, and then all of a sudden the results are going to happen. But let me tell you, baby girl, homie, it does not work like that.
If only it was that easy.
Focusing on myself and not being and not trying just to, you know, like do everything that's out there has really helped me to stay focused and to find a lot more joy in this process. It's one of the tragedies I feel like of health and wellness that, like, we don't say that it's not discussed enough.
Yeah.
The whole spiritual process. Yeah. And then that's just because it's not lucrative. You can't make money off of this.
Yeah. It's interesting. You speak a lot about wellness as well, mental wellness. And I think it plays a big part of it, because when we're looking at implementing any type of diet, albeit for performance, to lose weight, to feel better, I think, you know, step number one, and I don't know if you went about it this way, but I believe that step number one, someone needs to find the root cause of their problems before they even attempt to start any diet.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that we, you know, like, you should spend that time doing that. One thing that I did, and I did this, let me see, almost like 2 years ago. No, actually a year ago. So imagine the fact that, like, I'm just doing this now. I've been eating healthy on my healthy kick now for about 7 years now, but I'm just now doing this, which is this DNA test. And yeah, I'm not saying that's 1,000% accurate. Like, you do this and all of a sudden it's going to show you the hack for your body. But it was the first time I actually just took an actual critical look at my body and my health and what works for me. I had learned enough or a lot already just through experience and trying different foods and different workouts and different diets and things like that. So it was really revealing a lot of those things. I had a lot of aha moments when reading that. But I just asked myself, you know, what if you actually sat down and did this earlier on, Kevin, just to sit down and understand a little bit more about your body? Could that have sped up a lot of this experimentation? Could that have lessened some of the frustration that I felt along the way? So I do think, like, a good first step for people is to kind of learn a little bit more about them. Go and see a doctor. Go and see a nutritionist. And just get some more information. You don't have to go ahead and it's not saying that this is the, like, 1,000% like blueprint for your life. But what doing this does is that it'll give you ideas. It'll give you markers and hints as to things that could happen to you along the way. So that way they won't become a shock. You'll just know how to adjust.
Yeah. That's a really good point that you make there. I think adjusting to your DNA, really understanding your blood type, understanding what foods are good for you. I think another big thing that we don't speak a lot about is inflammation. Foods yeah. that are really inflammatory for our bodies and what it does. You know, we can store fat. A lot of us, it is not black and white. It's not work out at the gym, great, you can eat a burger. It's how many hours are you sleeping? I think it comes down to what you're thinking about, how you're sleeping, how you're hydrating. I think there's so much more to it than just putting fuel in and then burning it off.
Yeah, absolutely. It is much more than that.
Yeah. So in your time over, you know, while you've been building the mission, while you've been getting your book out there, while you've been doing everything, have you found any foods right now? Now, this is a mental performance podcast. Have you found any foods out there that
are great for the brain, because I think that that's another big topic that we're all delving into. We're finding out about nootropics. We're finding out about healthy fats for the brain. I'd love your take on that.
Yeah, you know, I don't know, you know, like scientifically, like the right foods, but I can tell you that one of the things that I've done, you know, whenever I went vegan just for a little bit, because I wanted to experiment with that diet, I felt a lot better. And I think that was just the increase in some of the green veggies that I was eating. I already, you know, and it's good to do stuff like that too, just to kind of try different diets, especially things like the vegan diet, even if you don't want to stay vegan, because you can see how you feel. And I remember that my mood changed a lot, and I was eating a lot of raw vegetables during that
time. How long were you on that for?
Oh my goodness. I just did that for like two or three weeks just to try it out. I just wanted to see if I could just do it, just because, you know, here in Texas is cattle country. So we eat beef a whole lot. We like our, you know, we like our tacos. We, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I just wanted to see if I could try it. And I just remember feeling really, really good. And I think that was the increase in the green vegetables, things like kale and spinach and like broccolini. That was the first time I actually had broccolini.
Wow.
It was when I went vegan. And so I felt like that's one of the takeaways that I took from the vegan diet, is that I need to make sure that I have a consistent amount of like leafy greens in my diet and some raw vegetables. Two foods actually, berries are ones that I'll usually start the day off eating, like some blueberries or some blackberries. I really like those. And I don't know enough about the science behind it. I know that they're linked to like memory and things like that. But again, I'm talking about from my experience, the way that I feel. And for some reason, berries make me smile. And I don't think that's just like a placebo or anything else like that. I just feel like they just have some type of ability just to kind of make me feel better. And then the last one that I consistently, and I always eat berries with some nuts. So either like some almonds and walnuts, which are both, they've got the omega-3 fatty acids, which are really good for brain health. But the other one that I've just come to love, and this is a funny one because I didn't grow up liking it at all. I hated it. And maybe it's because of the way my mom was sourcing it, but salmon.
Mm.
Like, I love a good piece of fatty salmon.
Yeah.
Either the smoked salmon or just some baked salmon. And it's just one of those staple foods that like I always have to have in my diet.
Yeah. Salmon, you know, now that you mentioned that, I've got a very, I'm very cautious now with the salmon that I buy, because I know that I watched this documentary, and I swear the more that I watch and the more that I see, the more turned off I get. And I think it's really important to understand the difference between wild caught and farm raised. And look, when I was watching this documentary, it showed how farm raised salmon, you know, how it goes from their farm and into our kitchen. And I saw that they feed the salmon chickpeas. And I thought, you know, I don't know if that's very healthy. I don't think a fish should ever have to eat chickpeas. And now every time I go to your Trader Joe's or your Whole Foods, I'm always looking at the wild caught salmon. And so now I'm trying to really actually look at the science behind wild caught as opposed to the science behind the farm raised. But I think that plays a really big role in, again, inflammation, our gut-brain relationship, and how we feel from a performance level. Do you look at that when you cook? Do you look at organic versus not organic, farm raised versus wild caught?
You know, only when it comes to the fish I'll do, because I actually, for some reason, just because I've eaten so much fish and different types and been on different budgets, that I can taste the difference between like farm and wild. So I just prefer the wild, a lot more. But when it comes to what I do in terms of like helping people to live a healthier and balanced life, and practical life, I don't want my message to come across like you have to eat organic foods in order to be healthy. Because I remember the budget that I was on a really limited income when I was really trying to do this, and I couldn't afford organic, but I was losing weight and I was feeling better about myself. I was making better choices. And so when it comes down to like a budget standpoint, I'm never going to be the person to tell someone that, oh, you got to eat organic in order to be healthy. I think that's marketing from the industry. Because the reality is, like, you got to look at nourishment as a whole. Like, are you going to say that, all right, we know that you're obese, and the gold standard is for you to have everything organic and to not eat things with chemicals, but they can't afford it. Are we going to tell that person that they're doomed and that they, all right, so just keep on eating the way that you can until you can afford this healthy lifestyle? I don't believe that, because that's not what happened with me. And I also think that's not a message that I want to use my platform to kind of propagate, and that organic is always going to be healthier, because the reality is even organic food cooked in the wrong ways, improperly, and also in the wrong portion sizes can make you fat. I met a ton of fat people who eat organic food.
Yeah.
So that's not healthy. So I think that we just need to watch the language that we talk about whenever we do, you know, talk about like organic versus like regular food or whatnot. But in my own diet, the only food that I'll splurge to really buy like premium would be the animal proteins, just because I think it's really important the way that they are, you know, processed before they get to our plate.
Like grass-fed beef.
Yeah, like grass-fed beef, things like that. I'll go the extra mile on. I'll pay the extra, you know, like buck or two.
So, Kevin, you speak a lot about portion sizes just now, and you mm-hmm. speak about preparation, and that's what your whole ethos is around. That's how, you know, Fit Men Cook, you know, you're teaching us how to make healthy meals in a small amount of time, because look, we're, you know, let's be honest. I mean, New Yorker, we don't have time to be spending money and, you know, all our time in the kitchen. Is it the consistency that wins in the end, like the consistent meals, healthy every day? And is that why you advocate preparation?
Oh yeah. I feel like it's twofold. So one is the preparation, and preparation is really important for, let's say that you're just starting out or you're really trying to change your lifestyle. One of the ways that I kept failing was that I didn't have healthier options readily available to me. But what's always readily available is something that's not healthy. So that's why I advocate for preparation, particularly if you're not as disciplined like I was, and you're just starting out or you're really trying to get your momentum, is just to have those healthy options. And one way to have healthier options always available to you is just to meal prep.
Yeah.
That's one of the beauties of it. But I don't think that's something that you have to do like for the long haul. Now I just know I can, now I don't have anxiety about eating out, and I could go to a place and pick the option that I know that I can kind of tweak that could, you know, that's going to push me further and closer to my health and wellness goals.
Yeah.
But before, I did not have that confidence. I did not have the knowledge to go ahead and do that, which is why meal prep is so important.
Mm. You speak a lot about increasing your kitchen IQ. What exactly does that mean?
Yeah, so I call it the kitchen IQs because when I first stepped into the kitchen, I didn't know what I was doing at all. And the more you get comfortable in the kitchen, you got to picture the kitchen the same way that you picture the gym. I want you to think hard about maybe the first time you walked into a gym. I know it may be really difficult, but think about that person that you were and how intimidated you possibly were, like with the machines. You didn't know like too much. You didn't know like a routine. You didn't know like what to do. And I remember me, I just didn't know what to do. So I would just go straight to the treadmill, or I would go to like little leg machine and just do that just because, all right, I can lift some weight with my legs and that's about it, you know? So you kind of stick to what you know. But the more I started to research weight training and bodybuilding and cross training and different forms of resistance training, I got more confident in the gym. So I was branching out. I was doing different machines. I was doing different circuits. That's the way the kitchen needs to be for you. So if you've never spent that much time in there, you've got to start out with a couple meals here and there. Trying, you know, the different food techniques. So I'm going to cook in a skillet, but I'm also going to learn how to bake something in the oven. And then it's not just the techniques, but it's also the food. Because remember, we're not just cooking meals or eating healthy just so we can have abs for the beach. we've got to move the conversation beyond that. We want to feel good at any age and at any stage of our lives. But can you imagine if the meal that you made right now at this moment was the same meal that you're eating when you're 75 years old? And because that's the only thing that you know how to do, you would go crazy and you'd probably go and just binge on something else. Mm-hmm. So part of the Kitchen IQ experience is in bringing in different foods that you're not familiar with, experimenting from week to week with different flavors, with different spices, with different cuisines. And that's why I tell people that part of the healthy journey is also eating out, because eating out can give you great ideas. So go out to a Korean restaurant, go out to a Mediterranean restaurant, try those flavors. And so what if it's not the healthiest? Just try it, enjoy it, commune with people, socialize, and then maybe, just maybe, like you will think, you know what? I really liked the way that they made this burger. I wonder if there's a way that I could make this burger a lot more calorie conscious so I could enjoy it on a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. And that's how you grow your kitchen IQ. You begin to get ideas and you just grow in understanding how to put foods together.
I really love the way you've worded that, because at NeuroAthletics, we speak a lot about becoming an intelligent player for all of our athletes. And that is understanding your own mind and your own brain. And that comes from understanding your thoughts and what's going on and always questioning yourself. And I think what you've just described is it's the same for nutrition. You really have to fall in love with the process in order to understand it and how it's going to enhance your performance. Like you said, instead of just looking good. You know, if you told everyone that just by, you know, following your books and your recipes, you can expand your productivity by at least, you know, 50%, I think everyone would definitely be on board.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah. So what's your philosophy around exercise? Is it, do we need to be spending an hour a day in the gym?
No, you don't need to be spending an hour a day in the gym.
Right.
I think that people should look for the incremental ways that they can keep their lives active and be active first off. So that way we lose the anxiety of having to feel that we've got to go to a brick and mortar place just to get healthy. That's the first thing. The second thing I like to say about the fitness aspect of this is that the cool thing about the fitness piece is that it can accelerate whatever you're doing in the kitchen. So once the weight starts falling off of you, once you start feeling great, you're going to notice a huge difference right away because food changes everything for you. And if you are hurried about trying to lose weight, then that's where the fitness piece comes in. So we're not going to starve ourselves. We're going to feed ourselves good food. We're going to enjoy that. We're going to get our macros in. And because we're so enthusiastic about the way we're feeling, we're actually going to go to the gym now, or we're going to go and do X, Y, Z because you want to accelerate what's happening. But it's not a requirement, because you're going to lose the weight and you're going to feel good just with the food. But if you want to get some more momentum, absolutely go ahead and get active.
Mm, that's great. I admire that philosophy, because it is hard. It is hard to go in there, sweat it out at the gym, and then, you know, come back into the kitchen and really have it regimented. I like how organic you're speaking about this. So I would love now if we could steer the conversation away from the nutritional stuff, from the education behind that. And I'd love to focus on you and your brand. And you've gotten a lot of traction. I want to know how that started. Was that just by putting out content on Instagram?
Yeah, just putting out content on Instagram. It was, again, it started as something that I was just trying to get to crowdsource my diet and get some ideas. And then people just began to follow me. And I didn't really understand reasons why, you know, and it's still, I'm still trying to figure put the pieces together today. But one thing I think that people appreciate is that they don't have to be like a professional to really enjoy, you know, my content. It kind of speaks, it speaks to everybody, because we all have a need and this deep intrinsic desire just to feel better about ourselves, feel better in life, so we can do the things that we love and we're passionate about. And that message resonates across cultures, across across boundaries, across religion, across gender. Everybody can resonate with that. So I think that was part of the reason why I had success, just because they could watch the little 15-second clips at the time of me making something and be like, you know what? I can do that. That's pretty easy. You're absolutely right. It is. And so we were able to connect on that.
Yeah. So you started off with that and then you moved on to a book.
Yeah, actually the app was first and then the book.
The app was first and then the book. And how, and yeah, did they grow? Yeah. And now, so now you've got the Instagram, you've got the app and you've got the book, and everyone's just getting on this fit men can cook journey.
Yeah. And fit women cook too. Yes, absolutely. So I think that the momentum has just been building. It's just been incremental. The same way that I've kind of approached my diet and my lifestyle is kind of the same way that the community has been built.
Yeah. Where do you see this all going in the future? Like with the role of Instagram, with the role of social media, and with what you're putting out there, what's in the cards for you?
Yeah. Right now we're exploring different mediums of media right now. Like, what's the next move? If it's I definitely want to stay in social and engage, because I get a lot of just personal pleasure and enjoyment from that. I love reading people's comments from around the world. Like today, I loved your story, the fact that your mom was the one who actually found my account and shared that with you. I love that stuff, and I never want that to get old. But the behavioral response in social media is changing, just because they haven't been as honest with us users about how they're using our data. And so I think it's made a lot of us a lot more cautious and stingy with the way that we engage online, which I will say personally, I get, because I am that same way now.
Wow.
But it's also an incredible opportunity for us and the team here, just to look at different mediums that we can get into people's houses and into their life to help them live healthier and happier. So that's what we're doing right now. Aside from the media, we are looking at products. So in 2015, I helped to launch these spices, and they were a huge success. We were on Kickstarter. We wanted to raise $25,000. We ended up raising a little bit under $200,000. But the cool thing was that that when we launched it, we met the $25,000 goal within 45 minutes. So just the enthusiasm around that. And so they went away for a bit, because sometimes you have to just do stuff that just, you know, and learn from business. And now we're bringing them back, but doing something even bigger and better with them. And we're also moving into snacks. So I want to really help people to say, you know, the stuff that I do and the stuff that I put out, it truly is from me, in the sense that these are things that I'm doing within my own life and ways that I've kind of learned on like how to eat healthy and live healthy. So I'm bringing that to my followers. So the reason why I'm going with snacks is like, that's been like a trouble part for me. It's the in-between. It's the in-between part that can get kind of tricky. Like, yeah, sure. I meal prep, but you know, I'm traveling and I don't have something to eat. So I want to put together products that I know that can help people to stay on track. They aren't going to break the bank and they aren't going to break the waistband either. Mm. So those things right now are keeping me up at night. I'm really excited about them.
Well, look, if you can find out what that is, build it and send me over a few bars, then I will be your biggest fan. I think one of the biggest reasons why you are doing so well is because you're so personable. You've got this amazing personality that makes everybody feel like they are, you know, part of your world and part of your community. So congratulations. Nice. Where can we find out more about you?
Sure. They can find me at Fit Men Cook on any social platform, on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, on YouTube. At Fit Men Cook, and then you can pick up the Fit Men Cookbook wherever books are sold.
Fantastic. And look, if you make your way down under, you have to promise my mother that you take her out and for a coffee or something.
Oh, I would love that. Mama, if you're listening right now, we have a coffee date whenever I'm coming down under. It's actually on my bucket list. Seriously, to go. So I cannot wait. It's going to be, I don't want this to be like one of those quick, like 5-day trips. I want to spend significant time over there. So I can't wait for that. So Mama, amazing. Yes, we got coffee.
Kevin, thank you so much for being part of the Neuro Experience.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.